It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. We've been talking about farm toys and collectibles this hour. Now we're going to talk about a very different kind of collectible, books, rare and old books in particular. And the world of collecting these books is complicated. The age of a book can be misleading when you're trying to figure out its value. And that's the challenge that led Amy Chen, a special collections instruction librarian at the University of Iowa, to create a game to help students understand this world. The game is called Codex Conquest, and Amy is with me now. Hello, Amy.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here, and give me an idea of just how big this challenge is that led you to create the game. I mean, it sounds fairly confusing.
Well, I'll say that we do have about 200 classes per academic year coming into the University of Iowa Special Collections Department. And one of the things I got asked the most about was, how much are these books worth, and how do we think about their value over time? So I thought a game would be a really nice way to communicate that in a maybe more accessible format.
All right. And so in just answering that question, what made it hard to answer the question if somebody says, oh, how much is that book worth?
Well, rare books are valued based on their provenance, which is a term which means their unique history. So every book is an individual item. And who has owned it before you? What was the printing history of that book? If there's any marginalia, all of those things contribute to their value. So one book is not necessarily equal to another, even if it's the exact same printing, like a first edition.
Okay, so you can look at a book and you can say, oh, this book is 200 years old. That sounds pretty old, so that must be a valuable book, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
That's very true, yes. And sometimes some of the oldest books are not even the most valuable. It also depends on their collectability. Are there a lot of private individuals who are really interested in owning this book? That'll make the market a little bit more expensive, things like that.
Well, and I'm struck by talking about how the book looks, the marginalia, if somebody has written in the margins or done something to the book. You know, when I go online and I want to buy a used book, of course, I'm looking for the thing that is in the best shape.
Yes.
So actually, the wear and tear on a book can make it more valuable?
Yes, because if you're thinking about research value, you want to see what that individual brought to the individual copy. So I might be more interested in a first edition that has a famous writer's marginalia on it than I am a pristine copy, because there's just more to learn from that book.
And a book can be more valuable just because it sat in the library of someone significant,
yeah.
even if it doesn't bear the traces of that?
Yeah, sometimes it does, because it's really interesting to understand like what books were contributing to that person's intellectual profile. So if you know Hemingway read Faulkner or something like that, you know, it tells you something about that writer.
All right. So tell me about the moment when you thought, I should make a game out of this. How did that come about?
So I had only been in my job for about 6 months. I've been at the University of Iowa for 2 years now. And it was around the holiday break. And I was talking to my supervisor, the head of special collections, Greg Prickman. And he said, you know, I've always wanted to have a game that would teach how books are made. And I thought that was a fabulous idea. But my background is more book history than how you put books together. And so I'm a nerd. I went home. And I made the game, and I prototyped it, and I've been working on it ever since.
Well, are you a gamer? Is this something else in your life?
Actually, I'm not, which really surprises people, but I love games because they teach students by having fun. And one of the things I read that is really profound is that playing is how everyone learns, and it's not even restricted to humans. It's how animals learn. So it's the best way to communicate ideas deeply.
And how did you come up with the name Codex Conquest?
So it was a suggestion by one of my playtesters. So I playtested my game, which playtesting means, you know, having people play the game and provide feedback. You know, you might be changing it over time. And I had a group of librarians, and some of them thought that would be a great idea before it had a really generic name, just the game of book history, which is a bit less exciting.
And define codex for those of us who aren't into book collecting.
So that's just the form of a book. The idea is that a book may look different depending on what time period you're in. So it just means that it's a book. It's really that simple.
All right. So an ancient manuscript in book form. That the book form is what the codex tells us.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Tell us how to play. What's the game like?
Okay. So what you're doing is you're playing as one of five countries. You can be Germany, Italy, Spain, France, or England. And you're competing to create or collect the most valuable books of Western civilization. So this is a European book history game. And what you do is you try to create as many collections as possible of either genre, century, or country. So genre meaning something like lyric poetry or cartography, century, like maybe 15th century books, or country, say Germany.
All right. And so each player gets assigned a country?
Yeah, or they choose it. It's fine.
All right. And once they start trying to create this collection, how do they do it?
So what you do is you turn over history cards, and history provides your economy, right? So if your country's doing well, maybe you get a few more credits. If you're not doing so well, then you don't get quite as much money. And you take your money and you go to the book market and you buy books from either your century or any previous centuries. And you can only buy two books at one time. So you're trying to figure out what's the best way to go about collecting. And there's also chance cards, which are things that happen to libraries, like natural disasters, grants, patrons, things like that. And they affect how you are able to collect.
And the books represent, you said, the 15th century?
15th through 19th century. And all the books are rated from 1 to 6 credits. But those credits correlate to real-world values. So you're... If you want to go to the website, you can find it just at Codex Conquest and just search on Google or maybe add Iowa. And there's a spreadsheet there that gives you the actual value of all those books and the sources I found.
All right. Now, just my initial instinct, even you, though you've already told me that it's wrong, would be to, oh, I want a 15th century book. Those are really rare. That was hard to make a book in the 15th century.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the first 50 years of the printing era, they're called the incunables, which is Latin for like baby or baby's clothes. So it's a special time in printing, and most of those books are worth quite a lot. But, you know, not every single book is quite as valuable. You can have something that's amazing from the 17th century and that could actually be worth more. It just depends on how collectible and how researchable these items are.
And how much information are the players given about each book to try to make their decision?
So they're given the title, both in the original language, if it's not English, and then in English. They're given the year of printing, the genre, and then how much it's worth. So, again, the 1 to 6 credits.
All right. And then they can get two books at a time. How do you win this game?
So you compete to create as many collections as possible. And your collections are worth more or less depending on what type of collection it is. And that's part of the learning objectives. I really want students to think about genre. So genre, you get to multiply your collection by 3. The century or country is you multiply by 2. And books not in a collection or spare credits are worth their face value. And the idea behind that, too, is that libraries don't just collect books piecemeal. We want to put it together in collections that mean something for users. So that's why collections are more important than an individual item.
All right. So the book's value actually can increase based on what else you're collecting.
Exactly.
How long does this game take?
It takes about 40 to 50 minutes, but when I play with librarians who get really into it or like spend a lot of time looking at cards, sometimes it can take up to an hour and a half. But my goal is to have it fit in a usual class period.
All right. And what do you want the students to take away from this? I'm sure it's a really fun way to learn, but what is the takeaway when they get done?
The takeaway is that there's books throughout time that are worth different values, and the values may not be what you expect. And then I also want them to think about the genres that exist over time and how they vary according to century. And then I also want them to think about these are some of the most important titles and to get used to the titles in both English and the original language and know that this is valuable. And if you walk away from the game just recognizing a few more titles than you did before, that's fine.
And do they have to study to be able to play the game?
No. That's the whole point.
But I
want to
make
sure
it's fun. That I would sit down and I would pick up these titles and I would never have heard of any of these books.
And that's totally fine. I hadn't even heard of all of the books when I was doing the research. So I like to invent games that, you know, you can come to it fresh and that's completely fine. And also the idea with a game is a good game bears fruit after you play it multiple times. So you get more comfortable and more familiar with the books the more you play.
So do you play like at the beginning of the semester and then again at the end?
Yeah, you could do something like that. I've had students play it once per class period. So, but you can do it a whole lot of different ways. You can have them look up books and do research projects based on what they wind up collecting. So there's a lot of different ways to learn the content, but I want to make sure that it's accessible to everyone. In fact, I really enjoy when high schoolers play.
Now, give me an example of some of the books, some of the titles that we would encounter in the game, because you have made this pretty tricky.
I would say, so we have the Encyclopédie, which is was issued in France around the time of the French Revolution. And I think it's really exciting because that book is in the game. It was actually a multi-volume series, as everyone who has encyclopedias around in print form still, which may not be that many of us, knows. And it's exciting to talk about that and then to pull up Wikipedia and to think about how the Enlightenment brought this idea of a comprehensive set of knowledge. So that's something in there, the Gutenberg Bible, a wide range.
Now, in trying to understand this game, I went online and found that you're just sharing this game with anybody who might want to use it. So what's the idea here?
So the idea is that Codex Conquest is an open educational resource, or OER. And open educational resources are free. Anyone can use them. So if you're a teacher out in Iowa, you know, please look at the website. And if you want to download it, it's absolutely free. You can email me and I'll help you think about how you can use it in your class. And I can help you set it up. And the idea is that education should be circulating to everyone. And I want to make sure that I'm not creating a commodity. I'm creating something that will facilitate the learning of everyone. And the other idea with open educational resources is that they can be remixed. So you can use my generic game, but you can also build it out to suit your subject interests. And again, I'm totally available to help you with that.
How long has this been available to other educators?
It's been available for a little bit less than a year.
And what are you hearing from other people? Is the word getting out?
It is. I just flew back from a conference in Vancouver, and that went – or in Victoria, sorry – and that went really well. So I got a lot of interest. I've sent it to a boarding school in South Carolina. It's going to Venezuela. I gave a talk at Columbia University in New York. So I think it's really gaining traction. And I think people realize that open educational resources can be powerful. So I hope this starts more people thinking about how game development can be used in their classrooms and that sharing is always better than trying to keep it proprietary.
Are you getting feedback from the people who are using it?
I am. So we're still in the early days, but so far it's been positive. They have ideas on how to improve maybe the curricula, and that's great. I'm totally down for that. And if people have suggestions, please let me know. You develop a thick skin when you become a gamer or a game developer. And yeah, and then I had a collaborator named Michelle Chesner, who's the Librarian for Jewish Studies up at Columbia, and she built her own version of the game, which teaches Jewish history, and that really got people excited.
Now, I can imagine as an educator, this would be something possibly I'd want to use in my classroom, although I don't know that necessarily I would want to print out and make my own cards.
Yes.
Are you considering creating a version that people can just purchase and get started with without doing the work themselves?
That's a very good point, because right now it is a little bit more difficult to make it. My suggestion is to bring it to a print shop, and then it does cost something, but it's not very much. I want to make sure that Iowa doesn't wind up becoming a distributor, because we're not necessarily set up to do that. But right now what I'm doing is loaning card games. So what you can do is you can email me, let me know when you'd like it, and I can arrange for one place to send it to another. So, for example, one of my games went from Hawaii, where it was getting reviewed, and then was sent to South Carolina. So we can pass it around a network. But aside from that, we'll see. I haven't gotten there yet, but again, I want to make it as accessible as possible.
Now, was there a moment after you created the game and started using it with students, so in the testing process yourself, is there a moment you can point to when you thought, yes, this is doing what I want it to do?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I would say I did when I was testing it. I taught an honors first year seminar last fall at the University of Iowa, and my students were playing it. And of course, they had lots of feedback. But I had one student say that she realized that the game taught her about white privilege, which I found was really important because that is outside of the specific learning objectives I set for a book history game. But she realized it was very hard as a country that started off weaker to ever catch up to the countries that started off with stronger economies because it is balanced based on historical reality. And so she was able to see that when you start off from behind, it's really hard to ever catch up and that not everyone starts with an equal playing field. And for me, that was a really profound moment that I never expected to happen. And I was really happy to see students engaging on a theoretical and a social and political level, not just about books, because at the end of the day, that's what it is about.
Does this give you ideas for other games?
Yes. Thank you for asking. My second game is called Mark, and it's a game designed to teach printers marks, which are the little insignias or symbols that printers used on early modern books, so the 15th and 16th century mostly, to distinguish their work. And scholars are really interested in these printers marks, but it's hard to keep them all in your head. They're really highly visual and complicated looking, and so I'm inventing a game to help teach that.
Have you thought about taking these games online?
They are online, so since you can...
As a video game,
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, that would be great. I don't have that expertise, but that's one of those things about open educational resources that can be cool. I can always work with others that know things that I don't, so maybe that'll be something in the future, but my skills are limited. So that's the room for someone else.
All right, Amy Chen, thank you so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Amy Chen is a Special Collections Instruction Librarian at the University of Iowa. She has created a game called Codex Conquest that teaches students and others about the world of rare and old books, the value of books and book collecting. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. The show is produced by Ben Stanton, Dennis Reese, Lindsay Moon, and Emily Woodbury. We had production assistance today from Chelsea Hoy. You can get in touch with us anytime. We'd love to hear from you. You can email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. I'm on Twitter as well, at Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.